first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
It's Thursday, the 12th of January. Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is show number 64. Sean Miller's here.
All right.
Jim Staples is here.
Indeed.
I'm Simon Head. I'm here, obviously. And joining us...
Oh, he's back. Woo! He's only bloody back, isn't he?
The return of the prodigal son. Mr. Michael Coxon's here.
When does Back in Black kick in?
If I can find it, I'll just lay it underneath there.
It won't be live.
Or Return of the Mank by Mark Morrison.
Yeah. There we go.
I'd prefer that, yeah.
Yeah. Return
of the Mank. Anyway. I like the fact you did that, and then everyone just took a sip of their beer.
Yeah.
Right, all at the same moment. Synchronised.
Yeah. Synchronised. Good.
Lovely.
FA Cup weekend last weekend. One of the biggest weekends of the year for football. FA Cup third round weekend. What was your performance of the weekend, Jim?
I think there's a few. I'll name a few. Wrexham away at Brighton got a 1-1 draw.
Yeah.
That's not a bad result. Crawley, although we actually said that they were going to win that. Crawley,
we didn't think
Bristol
that wasn't a shock in my house.
No, I knew Bristol City wouldn't score, so it was either going to be 0-0 or Crawley had nicked one.
Matt Tubbs, of course.
Yeah, because they don't score that many goals. Although they're really high in the league, they don't score bucketfuls at the moment. They're going through a latch where they're getting 1-0, 2-0 wins and stuff like that.
They're so solid, though, aren't they? They don't let many in.
And was it Tubbs with a goal?
Mm.
Yeah, it was Tubbs with a goal. Mad Paolo Di Canio, have you seen the celebration that he got
banned
for?
That's another thing that I was supposed to put up on
the
blog.
Yes, it's one of my favourite moments of the year.
Right, we've got to put it on the site.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean, are you going to man up and put it on there?
Yeah,
he looks like a pitch invader.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant.
He looked like a fan that invaded the pitch to celebrate with a player.
So he's now been banned for a game, apparently. Fined about 8k or something.
Well worth it.
Yeah, definitely. If you was a Swindon fan, you'd be loving it.
Yeah.
I like the fact the players don't know what's going on either. If you don't know what we're talking about, get on the site. Sean's going to have it up at some point. But they beat Wigan 2-1. So I'm not very happy because I don't like Swindon. But one of the best as well, it didn't get any coverage. Stevenage got a 1-0 win away at Reading.
That was going to be my one.
Phenomenal result.
He's gone through.
He's one of the best managers in the lower leagues.
He's
a Graham Wesley.
I wasn't going to say that word, but he's not very nice. But I think you need a bit about that about you to be going through the leagues. I don't think he's the sort of manager that could step up to the Championship level, though.
Say Championship would be his level, I think.
Because I think he's not a well-known name. If he went to somewhere like Ipswich or somewhere like that, or Leeds, he wouldn't get any respect. Obviously, at Stevenage, he's the man. From top to bottom, he runs the club.
Okay.
They know their place. They play for him. It's all that sort of cycle. The only one who's really done it like that is Tony Pulis, and it took him two goes at Stoke to get it right. Because to come into somewhere like that, and when he took over Stoke, they weren't obviously the sort of club they are now. But I don't think you go to a Championship club.
Low level Championship place. Club, Doncaster, something like
Coventry.
That.
No, possibly somewhere like Coventry, who are struggling.
But even Coventry, they've got players on their books that won't buy into his philosophy. He's got to go into a club, and everyone at that club has
got to buy into
his philosophy.
Yeah.
So if you can sit him all down, and if he's got enough money, he could say, right, anyone who's not on board, I can
get rid of. Yeah.
But if you go to a club like Ipswich, you've got so many players there with
big.
High earners.
Squad. Was it you who went through the squad last week?
Ridiculous.
Unbelievable squad they've got.
And they've not got any better since last week or 2 weeks ago when we mentioned it either. So yeah, they'd be my highlights. So with the one standout probably being the Stevenage result. But Swindon beat the Premier League team. And the Swindon didn't get any luck in the cup draw either, did they? Which I quite liked. Seeing who they've got now.
Who'd they get?
Away to Birmingham, I think. Something like that. Away to Forest or Leicester. Depending on who wins that game.
Forest Leicester's got a bit of heat under it. They don't get on those two things,
don't they?
That should be quite a nice little read. Is that going to be on TV? That should be on TV.
That'll be, they're pretty much, they're all, QPR v MK Dons is on TV at the Loft, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And that's how many games are actually on TV. There's another derby. Stoke got through against Chelsea, and they'd be playing Derby in a Derby because they don't like each other too.
Mm.
So that'd be quite interesting. But yeah, so that's my take on the FA Cup. Anyone else can jump in?
Sean.
Well, you've gone through everything.
Jim's taken all the answers.
Exactly. Is there
which is good because I've got no notes in front of me.
Well, I was going to go with either Swindon or Stevenage. Result. I mean, Reading doing really well in the Championship at the moment. It's a great result away there. Good side.
Done all right, haven't they?
Yeah.
Talk to us about United.
Well, yeah, it's a funny old game, wasn't it?
It was a funny old game.
Take a cliche, game of two halves.
Any more?
Jumpers for goalposts.
So took each game as it came.
Game of two halves.
Yeah. So was tennis.
Unless it goes to extra time, and that couldn't have gone extra time, it would have been a replay. It was always going to be a game of two halves, wouldn't
any
it?
Any game's got two halves if you just cut it down the middle. Tiddlywinks.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you cut it down the middle, but there is actually two different separate halves of football.
So
it's not a game of two halves if it goes to extra time, because then it's a game of two halves and a couple of quarters and what have you.
Yeah, maybe some penalties.
Two one-thirds as well.
Yeah.
So they're one-third of the overall half. Move on, go on, son.
I'm completely discombobulated now. I've got no idea what you're talking about.
Well, at least the place isn't falling down this week. Which is one thing.
A lot safer, although
I quite enjoyed it. It was like extreme podcasting.
it was
a little bit like
element of danger.
It's like the day after tomorrow. Yeah. We were in the only building left standing.
Masturbating with your bedroom door open. And you know your mum's home at any point. That sort of capers. You've definitely done that, Coxon, haven't you?
Danger,
bear in mind, we know
nothing's
your mum listens.
Stopped me.
Nothing's ever stopped.
I hope that gets edited out. That's because my mum will be listening.
It won't be edited out. Simon doesn't do editing these days. We don't need it.
We might now. He's back.
Exactly. We might now.
United City.
It wasn't a red card, was it?
It wasn't it.
I can see where the referee.
It wasn't even a foul.
No, I can see where the ref's coming from, because you see someone go out with two legs straight, a little bit off the ground. But Nani didn't complain, and the fact
Nani
that
went
Nani,
chasing the ball,
the fact
didn't
that
he?
Nani didn't complain says it all. I mean, Nani would be the first one to complain.
Yeah, exactly.
But I
tell you, who had a good game. Sammy Nasri, wasn't he? He had a really good game. Did a lot.
Great game last night as well.
I stood in the corner playing with the Aki sack or something.
I honestly didn't know he was playing. It was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Have you seen the clip on YouTube of the Liverpool fans on the way home last night?
No.
Two Liverpool fans in the car on the way home, and they basically pulled up alongside Sammy Nasri and they were like shouting at him, and they're telling him to wind his window down. In the end he does, and they just slate him, saying, "Oh, you were crap tonight, you should never have left Arsenal, you'd have more chances of winning the Champions League if you hadn't left Arsenal." And Nasri didn't really say anything, then he just went, "We're top of the league," then he drove off at about 100 miles. Have you seen it?
I've heard bits of it.
I'll get that.
Only thing he did last night was square up to Carragher, wasn't it? That's what I remember him doing.
I didn't watch last night. I'm quite glad I didn't.
I can't imagine squaring up to anybody.
He
just doesn't come across as a particularly tough
looking up to, though. Maybe not, but squaring up to.
Yeah.
So obviously we went to the other League Cup game on Tuesday night.
Corner Palace.
Sean got absolutely hammered and was a disgrace to his mother. Was it a disgrace or ashamed?
Basically, the woman just turned round to my mum and went, "Is that your son?" Like that. Not a great moment.
When someone's saying that to you in South London,
Exactly. Stuart Hall's still hung over apparently as well. That's why he's not here.
He was a state yesterday.
Yeah, he was a right old state.
I went to the pub with him. It's ridiculous.
We only had about two and a half hour window.
We got for about nine.
We smashed the granny out
on the special privilege.
He was a Wayne Rooney.
Pretty much.
That was an interesting night. It wasn't a great game of football. I think Palace deserved a 1-0. Cardiff had a lot of possession in the first half, did nothing with it.
Tony Gardner's doing his Euro 2012 chances of world.
Exactly.
He's doing alright.
He's been quality this season, him and Paddy McCarthy.
McCarthy at the back was the
rock solid.
Has he still got the big shaggy hair as well?
McCarthy?
Yeah,
he's kind of trimmed it down now. He's got a bit of a quiff and a.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Talking of big shaggy hair, did you see that the Maccabees, the well-known band with 150,000 followers on Facebook,
on their way to going to number one in the album charts this week.
Yep, came out on Monday. They were at the Gillingham Stoke game last Saturday.
Right. Guests of a Mr. Matthew Lawrence Esquire,
who
played right back, and at one point thought he was Franz Beckenbauer, the way he went ripping through the middle of the pitch.
They must know each other because the Maccabees are from Brighton, which I know, and Matty Lawrence lived in Brighton or used to live in Brighton. And we saw this week he revealed in his Mirror Football column
massively
that his son is a Brighton fan, which as
not
a former
good.
Palace stalwart, he's not endearing himself.
Not really.
He also wrote
ostracised your son, mate.
He also wrote a column later in the week about someone else that we should talk about, Neil Warnock. Now Matty Lawrence,
good column that.
Yeah, he said
I've not seen this.
He said he'd run through the brick walls for Neil Warnock, even though pretty much the first time he met him, he
said he'll never play for Palace again.
and yet he's got so much respect for the guy. Because
so he played under him.
Oh yeah.
Well, that was about halfway through his spell with Palace.
Yeah, he told him he wasn't in his plans. Yeah. Lawrence said okay, and they came to an agreement about you don't have to train with a resi, train with a first. If you want to play reserve games, you can. If you don't want to, if you'd rather go to the gym, do that. Do what you need to do to stay fit. And then they needed a defender. They called upon him, and he did all right. So he's got nothing but praise for him in his column in Mirror Football this week.
So that brings us to an interesting point. Where is Neil Warnock? Where does he go now?
Blackburn.
That's not so bad.
I've spoken to a couple of Blackburn fans. Yeah,
they won't.
He's a good Championship manager. He'd do alright, wouldn't he?
Stuart's good at Championship manager.
yeah, that's not quite the same.
Yeah, he's a good Championship manager, but the jobs that are coming up in the Championship, you look at Ipswich possibly. He's not an Ipswich manager, is he?
No.
Let's be honest.
No.
Ipswich fans would not like him there.
No.
Because they've got that.
It doesn't seem like a right fit.
No. It's that Bobby Moore era and playing football the right way and what have you and stuff like that. That's not a good
fit. Bobby Robson.
The other one is Leeds, because there's still a lot of speculation that he'll be out of a job. That wouldn't be a bad fit. They wouldn't like him. Oh, not at all.
I don't know.
I get the feeling, though, they would eventually.
I don't think it'd take too long. The thing is, Neil Warnock will come into
a
Championship
club. He's great at setting a siege mentality.
Exactly. It's a bit like what I was just saying about Wesley at Stevenage. If you're going to buy into it, then you'll get on with it.
Yeah.
If the fans will buy into it, then you're sort of getting on side. But he played rubbish football at Sheffield United, and they...
Yeah.
At the end, I don't think that many of them actually did love him.
No.
And he was a Sheffield United fan. If you're not going to take to him being a Sheffield United fan... Yeah. But it's that idea of, right, do we sacrifice the good football? A bit like West Ham. Sam Allardyce for West Ham was a strange fit, but I think he's going to get him promoted.
He'll get him promoted, but I don't think the fans are particularly happy with it.
No, they're not.
I don't think they ever will be.
West Ham are absolute toilet to watch.
Yeah.
They're really not very good to watch. But then they are winning games. So what do you want? You
know? They did have an advert in the Metro this morning, West Ham, talking about their exciting attacking football and their tickets being really cheap, and they're still 20 odd quid to go and watch against Forest.
Yeah.
Bugger off.
Come watch Gillingham for 24 quid if you want.
One other thing about this QPR stuff, Stu mentioned that every target that QPR have been linked with for about the last 3 months has had some link to Mark Hughes. So he's fairly sure, and a lot of people at the club are fairly sure
that
it was always going to be happening. If Stuart was here, he could name the players better. A load of the players like Zamora, Samba,
Wayne Bridge,
the Man City guy. Stu went for about 10 or 11 names.
Brian McClare.
Yeah. Did you say that? I phoned Stu up and went, have you seen, mate, on Monday when it was all getting announced? He went, what's that? I went, it's been announced. He went, what, definitely Hughes? I went, no, Jerry Francis. And he, for a minute, he went, what? No, I thought it was going to be cute.
He was also in the crowd at Priestfield Stadium on Saturday.
Who, Jerry Francis?
Yes.
I have to tell you.
And Fielder Power Taylor.
Oh, right.
Was there. Who,
Big Stoke fan, isn't he?
He's a Port Vale fan.
Lewis is a Stoke fan.
But he was sat in with the Stoke fans, and all the Stoke fans were singing, stand up if you hate Port Vale, and then dragging Phil Taylor to his feet.
Excellent.
He was getting lots of stick, but he's a Stokey.
Go on.
Interested on the Gillingham Stoke game, I saw, was Tony Pulis saying, had he stayed at Gillingham, he would have done exactly the same thing he's done with Stoke.
If you actually listen to the interview, it's not exactly not what
he said.
The interviewer said to him, if you stayed at Gillingham, would you have got him into the Premier League? And he said, yeah, I believe so. But then if you'd asked me when I was at Portsmouth, when I was at Bristol City, if you ask me at every club I'm at, I'll say I can get him
so
into the
right
Premier
now, we could have Bristol City, Gillingham, Portsmouth, all in the Premier League, all under Tony Pulis
cloned himself. Yeah.
Tony Pulis clones.
Well, he's actually offered to be the Wales manager for one game.
It's not happening, I don't think. Chris Coleman, apparently, sounds like they're going to appoint Coleman full time after the next game. That's why
he's just left his job. There's a lot of rumours coming out of Millwall that Jackett was going to take it.
Yeah, I don't think he's international manager.
I don't think he's a Championship manager.
I think he'd fit in well at Wales then, if he's not an international manager.
Controversial.
That what you said about Pulis is a brilliant example of the press taking something and running.
Yeah.
Because that was the audio him saying, basically, I believe any manager should believe they could get their club into the Championship. So he said, if I was a manager of a conference team, I could get him into the Premier League. Yeah. But then they've gone, Pulis says he would have got Gillingham into the Premier League.
I'll refute that, because I don't think Steve Keane will ever be able to say he reckons he could get a team into the Premier League.
No, or keep him.
Get him out of there,
Oh, he's doing a good job of that.
On the topic of Pulis, all the reports coming out of Stoke in the lead up to that game were that he was going to pick a largely second string team. And on the eve of the game, Paul Scally was interviewed by Sky Sports News. There was a bit of a dispute over policing costs.
Yeah.
Gillingham games typically don't have any police in the ground.
Okay.
As many games, many matches in the lower leagues, they don't need the police in the ground. Stewards are normally enough. But if you do have police in the ground, the club pays for it. But the police can order that there are police in the ground if there are certain safety aspects involved. They decided there was a suitable risk. There was a little bit of a dispute, which was eventually sorted out. So Scally went on Sky Sports News to explain what happened. Nick Collins, the mustachioed Gillingham supporting Sky Sports reporter, then went on to ask him about Tony Pulis. What he should have said was no comment.
Yeah.
Instead, he said, I don't want to talk about it, and then spent about 2 minutes talking about it, digging up loads of old ground and all the rest of it. And then Collins gave him a really nice out at the end of the interview. He said, so if you were to knock Stoke out at the FA Cup on Saturday, will you shake Tony Pulis by the hand? Will you bury the hatchet? And he said, only in his head.
Right.
Tony Pulis turns up on match day, they read the team sheet out. I would say 8 or 9 of their first choice 11 were on the pitch.
But they did have Jonathan Woodgate at right back and Matt Upson at left
back. Matt Upson is the worst defender I've seen at Priestfield this season, and I'm not exaggerating.
Oh,
that's not terrible. Like, I turned up absolutely hammered and looked at who their fullbacks were and thought, we're going to win this.
No, Ryan Shotton was playing right back.
Unfortunately, Gillingham have got absolutely no pace.
They played three at the back, two defensive wing backs.
Wait, so Matthew Upson was a wing back?
That's even worse.
He was kind of lopsided, but he was dreadful. He looked awful. And then I turned to my dad and said, he played centre back in a World Cup.
Yeah.
Germany.
Now you know why Mesut Ozil looks so flipping quick.
Yeah.
We know those problems with the police. Was it a bit of a stink?
Oh,
that was good. That's my level of comedy.
Oh, every breath you take is a bad thing for comedy. As we're talking about Cox and comedy. I'm moving on slightly. We did have a Stuart Hall's toilet news of the week. We'll have to do that next week because
I know what his toilet news is.
Yeah, leave it though.
I'll hold off.
Unfortunately, Stuart couldn't, and that's why he's in the toilet instead of on the podcast.
He's actually in there with Dan Ferdinand and Doink the Clown.
This is a new section of the show, and it's the Jim Staples. Someone from the podcast gets mentioned in the national press of the week. Michael Coxon, do you want to tell the story?
Well, I didn't get mentioned, but
basically, for those
I was alluded to.
Those that don't know, Mike is a budding part-time comedian.
Well, hopefully it'll be full-time eventually.
Not on this show. Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be full-time.
No, I saved my good material for people who I actually like. And
fair enough.
Hello, podcast listeners.
Hold on. Page 18 of Wednesday's Metro, that's yesterday's Metro, comedian Jeff Leach, who I don't know and I've never looked like...
He's quite 27. He's quite funny.
Is it?
I'd know, because I've met him and performed on the same bill as him.
Well, this is it. There's a long interview and they're asking him blah, blah, blah that I don't really care
about. Sorry
about
his sex addiction.
Yeah. Is he really in there?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. He's doing a BBC Three programme about it.
Oh, he's also a covering drink, and sex addict.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And this is and Coxon's in his eye.
Well, basically, yeah. At the job I was previously at, they luckily had quite a few outlets for these sort of things, being a large company who I won't plug. And I got onto a bill for a comedy night in one of the bars as an amateur with three professional comedians. I invited a couple of friends from work, which turned into about 30 people turning up.
Oh dear.
It was also one lad's birthday, and they'd spent a few hours in the pub beforehand. And now we'll
read. So they asked this guy who's famous.
I will refute the one claim in there of any sort of illegal substance.
Okay,
nobody.
I'm going to read it out. You can refute it. Jeff Leach, blah 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 blah. Then what's the worst gig you've ever done? The answer from Jeff Leach, 27, big name on the circuit. One in central London where a load of drunk people from a magazine. The magazine?
I won't name it, just
BBC.
In case of libel.
One in central London where a load of drunk people, possibly from the BBC magazine, who I think were also on cocaine.
They weren't.
To my knowledge.
Came to see one of their colleagues, Michael Coxon. Doesn't say Michael Coxon.
No.
He doesn't know who you are,
thankfully.
Came to see one of their colleagues who was also on the bill. The other comics were really talented, high-profile people who they were lucky to seeing this little club because they normally do bigger gigs.
They were comics.
They were.
Yeah, exactly.
He's ostracising you.
Which, to be fair, he came up to me afterwards, and a lot of his set was about how well I'd done and my friends had let me down. I will add that in. But that felt like a bit of a cuss, I'll be honest, reading that.
Yeah.
Because I did quite well, and there is a video of that gig which I will post online.
YouTube. Right.
I was so outraged, I went on and said, why the fuck are you here? Why don't you just leave? I offered to pay for their drinks so they'd go. He wanted them out that much, he said, I'll pay for your drinks.
That's not winning your audience over early doors.
I probably shagged one of them on the way out with your drink addiction.
I'll be honest as well, he did know one of the girls already through a friend, let's put it that way. But
Two guys came up on stage for a fight,
yeah,
which didn't happen, as I didn't rise to it. That sounds like he pussied out.
To be fair, he did rise to it, and I believe he said, I will knock you out right now if you want, and they backed down. So
okay.
I think he's taken a bit of license. To be fair...
This is a right of reply we've had.
I've just read the end of it, hang on. Right, so it's like, I didn't rise to it, so they sat back down and watched the rest of the night. They aren't bad gigs, they're just challenging gigs that you need to turn around. It was like looking at the cast of The Only Way Is Essex if they were really coked up.
Again, I would say no illegal substances involved, and some of them maybe not my friends afterwards. I'd be like, the crowd were awful. I was sat at the back embarrassed by it.
By
the people who'd came. Nine-tenths of them were fine. Some of them were completely out of line. Yeah. He did rise to it a lot, and from what I've heard, a lot of his shtick is doing similar things. That doesn't justify what they did, and he handled it very well and was very nice to me afterwards.
So how did your set go?
My set went fine. I've got a video of it, which I will find on my laptop and post online.
All right, cool.
He complimented me on it. The other comedians did. I don't know if they're just being nice to my face, yeah. But, yeah, it's one of those, certainly the worst experience I've had so far. I had a lovely gig on Tuesday night. That was very nice.
How many gigs you do in a month now?
Well, the last month, because of Christmas, not many, but I'm trying to do as many as possible, so three or four. And I will maybe have a podcast extra time from one of them.
Excellent.
When I'll do some football-focused material.
Yeah, that'd be good.
But it'll be
we
quite
can
nice.
Come along, we'll do a little bit of an intro.
You can see if you're even worse than my other colleagues.
see if you can make next week's Metro.
Stuart will just be sitting there with a can of Coke, getting completely the wrong idea.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on. Thanks for that. That was a nice little off-section.
Next week, Dan Silver's going to feature in The Star for... Well, if he's anything like a girl who featured in The Mirror today, having two sets of genitalia.
Nice. Yeah. He's nice to have you back, though, Coxon.
She had to lose her virginity twice.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't lie, I'm going to move on.
She didn't have to. She didn't have to. She chose to.
Well, you would, though,
anyway,
wouldn't you?
Yeah.
We're going to transfer news in a minute, but I would like to say, on behalf of everyone, it is nice to have you back.
Yes. It's lovely to be back.
It's been comebacks. Obviously, Arsenal brought Henry back.
Yeah. Scholesy's back at United.
AFC Wimbledon.
Jason Yeo is
back at AFC Wimbledon. Yeah. Lennon Donovan's back at Everton.
Yeah.
Liverpool have brought racism back.
It's
all going on. It's just the comebacks.
Man City have brought a run of bad form back.
It's yes, like they are. They look like they're falling apart at the moment. Who have they got?
Wigan. Shut up, Dan Silver.
Spurs for the title.
Do you know, they've got to play Man City soon as well, haven't they?
I know.
If they come out of those games, they'll be right in there.
They won't do it.
No, I don't think so.
Even if they're there in the last weekend of the season, they'll blow it.
Even if they win it, no one will admit that they ever won it. I think that'll be a pact. Did Spurs win it? No, it wasn't Spurs. I don't think we had a league that year. I think we played cricket. Yeah.
Right, putting this out there, the Andy Carroll story, which was in two papers, got it exclusively this week, about possibly going back to Newcastle for $10 million.
Yeah. Why would they have him?
I don't buy it for a second.
No, they got both in their
buy. They got Shola Rami Obi. He's got better form than Andy Carroll.
I think Newcastle fans, and if you offered him back for $10 million, they'd take him. He's not a bad footballer of night.
It's never been happening.
Kenny Dalglish is too proud a manager and too proud a man to admit that he's brought someone $25 million off the market value.
Yeah,
I think most fans would have a player like that back just for the bragging rights. If we sold him for $35 million, we got him up 10. Look at Robbie Keane going to Spurs.
Yeah, case in point. They had a bit of that Spurs, didn't they?
He's
signing players back.
He's now at Villa.
Yeah, he went on loan to a rubbish signing to a rubbish club.
But I mean,
some of these signs are Andy Carroll and Fernando Torres, and something weird will happen and they'll just go goal crazy.
Do you know, if you're Andy Carroll, has he still got the ponytail? I didn't see him
last time.
He should just get in front of the mirror, shave that all off, come out really
taxi driver style.
Like, that's the only way he's going to recover his form. Shave your hair off and go mental. You watch, he'll do it. I bet he does it soon.
That's your answer to everything.
Yeah, well, it worked for my mum, so... transfer watch.
Yeah.
So, the other thing, Denver Barr, apparently, 7 million is that buyout clause.
I heard it was 10 million, but even a 10 million
is
good.
Harry Redknapp was asked in a press conference about Denver Barr, and he said, well, I don't know, but he's got this transfer release clause. So, suddenly, the reports were all scrambling on it, like, what's that? And someone went, I've heard it's 10 million. He went, well, it's lower than that. And they went, 8 million, he went, lower than that. And then he's
thinking, when did he turn into Bruce Forsyth?
It's
Harry Redknapp. Denver, good game.
It's Harry Redknapp, if you ask him.
Lots of good games at the moment.
I wouldn't say I wouldn't ever take over from Bruce Forsyth on the...
every manager aspires to it.
Other things that I saw, Liverpool linked with a new right winger, Nick Griffin. I've got no more. They're finished now. But Nicky Maynard,
man.
Lots of speculation. Swansea, apparently.
I've heard that.
I think he could do better than Swansea.
I think Swansea,
get some game time and then move up.
Yeah. To be honest, his best days were in the St. Nick's year 11 team with me at left back, so.
Anyone else seen any Zahars? Obviously.
We've just signed him on a.
Somebody's going to be stupid enough to buy massive. Darren Gibson.
Sunderland.
He's going out. Everton. £1 million. Everton,
really.
He was going to go to Sunderland, wasn't he?
Fergie must be laughing his backside off at that. It's £1 million for a player that never plays.
It's like when we sold Mikhail Silvestre, brilliant.
Yeah, to Arsenal.
Yeah. Great bit of business.
Unbelievable.
Zahar didn't impress me that much. He's one of the starring lights of the Championship.
Yeah, we didn't get him on the ball that much, to be fair.
Well, he's a greedy bastard, isn't he?
But
there's lots been links with him, but nothing's really kicked off yet, has it? Let's be honest.
There's been no
poor old Darren Lewis. He's struggling with his videos.
Really
he's getting regional reports because he's got nothing to fill up.
It's building up. It's building up. You wait until I think it's going to be a quiet one.
Yeah,
it's going to be a quiet one.
Oh yeah, Sky Sports News is going to be very reserved.
Jim White won't overblow it at all. It'll be very reserved. The one team to watch, and I'm not saying that because he's sat next to me. Manchester United are the team to watch. They need players.
I could see us pulling off a surprise one, but then Fergie's so proud sometimes, and like you said, when has a player ever come in and won somebody the league or even made much of a difference other than maybe the relegation fights? I mean, when does someone make a massive
bringing back a 37-year-old midfielder that can't run and can't tackle and can only play when there's only 10 yards of space around him isn't going to win you the league.
Other podcast transfer news, Lee Minchell, friend of the show, has been transfer listed by the AFC Wimbledon.
By the Dons.
Did he go out for dinner on Boxing Day or something?
No. It's a shame. The last time they actually won was against Gillingham, which is a crazy statistic.
I know, Johnny G in the office.
The last game they won was that was the first week of
October.
When it was that really, really sunny week, which was weekend, which was just completely against everything. That's the last time they won. And my mate, he bossed the midfield that game. Absolutely bossed it.
Jack Midson was scoring lots of goals early on. They've dried up a little bit. He still gets the occasional goal.
Yeah. Basically, what they've decided to do is they've decided that they need some loan players in.
Get Marcus Gayle back.
Well, he's their coach, isn't he?
But they've decided that they need some young talent from the leagues above and some experienced talent from elsewhere. So they've signed, what's his name, from Jason Yule from Cheltenham.
Right.
So
Darren Gibson will go there.
Yeah. But basically, they need to free up the wages, so they've released about four or five players. So we'll see what happens to him. One other thing, it was Emil Hirsi's birthday yesterday. And it was trending on Twitter, Emil. Which was
nice. Someone told him he might have missed it.
On the subject of minimum clauses, me and Sean were looking at this the other day. Well, I was looking at it and Sean got interested, looked over me. We've got the top five minimum buyout clauses in football.
Is one of them Stuart Hoare from the podcast for a Weatherstone beer and a burger?
Just at number six, Xavi is fifth in, 70 million. This is quid.
I'd pay that.
Thiago, 81 million. won't pay that.
If, especially not Thiago, if it's the Thiago who used to play for Chelsea.
Barcelona's Thiago.
So not the Thiago who was rubbish at Chelsea.
No.
He's more than Xavi.
Yeah. How many games did he play?
Because there was a lot of interest in him by Premiership clubs.
Right. And Xavi signed a new contract. 82?
Yeah. So he signed a new contract and they put that in. The Hulk, 84 million.
Don't make him angry.
From Marvel Comics.
Considering he's not played Champions League football, is quite a lot, I would have thought.
Well, he played it last year.
He's not playing Champions League football, and he's never played in one of the big domestic leagues, has he, in Europe?
No,
he's played Champions League football for a few seasons.
Not this season.
I remember seeing him a few years ago, and he looks a bit raw, but apparently he's come on bundles in the last couple of years.
All right, top two will be no surprise. Lionel Messi, 225 million. Right, you're feeling the same thing as me. Man City could just be.
Yeah, exactly.
I really hope City aren't listening.
Shake Mansell's like, I could do that.
Yeah, I will buy him for that and use him as my butler.
But obviously, then Messi's got to agree, which I don't think he would. Ronaldo is top 1 billion. Four times as much. Or
Bill
three.
Gates might have him.
That makes Messi look like a bargain.
Yeah, I think so.
Get two Messis.
We're talking about Messi and Ronaldo. The Ballon d'Or, presented by.
Former Hubcast video presenter
Dan Ferdinand.
She looked she looked a lot better than Dan Ferdinand, put it that way.
Yeah, Kay Murray doing
smaller tits,
doing fantastic.
And that's not an insult to Kay.
I hope Dan and Kay are both not listening. With Ruud Gullit.
I'd like to think that they sort of looked down Kay's CV. They sort of said, here's someone who can do it. Yeah, done a bit of this, presented on this.
Oh, podcast,
this,
yeah.
We need something extra. Yes, we know you've done these other podcasts, Beyond the Pitch, Greg Podcast, Ramble, very well known, biggest one. But we need something extra. Podcast. Oh, yeah, whatever.
You're in. Get in.
I'd like to think it was a Luther Blissett, John Barnes scenario, AC Man, and they thought she was Stuart Hall. And she turned up on the deck. Bugger, we got the wrong one. We just go with it.
Seb Blatter would have tried to play out into Stuart Hall, I reckon. Did you see him with Shakira?
That was just embarrassing.
With Shakira. I actually got home. It was on Eurosport. I left the work early, just on soccer CK, and I missed about the first 10 minutes, and I watched it from about 10 past 6
to 7
o'clock.
Did you feel a little bit of pride in seeing Kay
up
there doing
it?
Yeah, I did.
You were a little bit nervous for her, weren't you?
I actually said
we've got anything to do with her just success because, at all.
No, but, true, but you know, I love her to bits. And how, like, not scared, but she admitted, I saw she posted something on her Facebook or Twitter, and she did an interview before by FIFA, and she was just saying, I'm really nervous. Incredible. Yeah. She was in front of, like all of, like,
how many countries was it?
186 countries it was broadcast live in.
That's as big a gig as you get in football, really.
And she absolutely...
standing in front of... Yeah. Everyone in that crowd would have been...
And she was quality. She breezed through it. The Borough accent went a little bit, but obviously she does that when she's talking English on whatever she's doing anyway. But no, brilliant. Absolutely
good
brilliant.
Good for her. Did chuff for her.
Moving on. Stuart Hall's not here, so we can't do
Stuart
Hall's
not here.
Podcast burning question.
Let's have a burning question. Right. Which team from any league would you say ended 2011 as the surprise package of the season so far? So, as an example, Palace...
Yes, fair example.
Yeah, top half of the Championship, slightly surprising, I would suggest. Semi-finals of the League Cup, very surprising.
Very surprising, exactly.
So, in the final. Is that your answer?
No, it's not. I was going to go with I was going to go with Cheltenham Town, but I've seen you've written them down as well.
Cheltenham were my backup.
Oh, they were backup. Okay, yeah. Cheltenham Town. Everyone was tipping them to go down. Everywhere I looked before the season started, said Cheltenham, no budget, rubbish players, they're going to get
relegated. If you play Football Manager, they are predicted 23rd.
23rd, that tells you all you exactly, need to know. Yeah.
Very low budget, that's what it is. They're just, you know, they're chugging along with not
They signed a good player, Kai Mohammed, who was AFC Wimbledon, is a decent player. Obviously, you weren't be sure how he was going to step up into consistent league football, but he's done very well. So, they're doing alright. I like that one.
Alright, Mike, who you got?
I'm going to go for, it's quite obvious, but Newcastle United. Think back to this time last year, Hughton gone, the fans hating Pardew, Andy Carroll sold, everyone thought...
And no replacement.
I personally thought they'd go down this season, yeah. And they've just been fantastic. Other than a blip, which, to be fair, two of the games were at City and Chelsea.
Yeah, they bounced back now, haven't they,
Look like they've got a very strong squad as well. So,
who did they play in the Cup?
They played Blackburn, one of the only Premier League ties. They won 2-1. Gutierrez put the Spider-Man mask on.
Oh, blinding goal from Hatton Ben Arthur.
Yeah,
right?
He's
superb.
If he could get some form and fitness, he would be ruining Simon Pitney's weekend every weekend.
I can tell you, they're playing Brighton or Wrexham away in the next round.
I would love Wrexham to get
Brighton away. Will be a very difficult game. Brighton are good at their new.
Yeah, they were at the start of the season. They're falling a little bit out. They drew home to Wrexham.
Well, at the weekend,
all after we beat them 3-1.
That would be a lovely game for TV. That if Wrexham did get through against Brighton, Wrexham home to Newcastle,
with the old Arsenal and stuff like that,
that'd be lovely.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be lovely. Mine it would be Cheltenham. Got a mention for me. I mentioned this team earlier, Stevenage Borough, who are 7th in League One. Obviously, still in the cup, having knocked out Reading as well. Absolutely blinding. In terms of their budget, they must be well in the bottom half of that league in terms of budget. Easily. They've not really signed anyone, but they're just on a crest at the moment, and they're cracking on. So, Stevenage Borough, be mine.
Most of the what I would call the clever answers have been taken. So I'm going to say Spurs, and the reason I say Spurs, they're always a top six side. They're always in there. Who really thinks that they're ever going to do that well in the league? You know, they're 3 points off the top? 3 points off the top, joint second, level with Manchester United on points.
They're in that same branch of traditionally City and Newcastle of clubs that will always mess it up.
They'll always be a bit of a joke.
And I don't mean that as an insult.
No. What I like about Spurs...
They've normally blown it by now, that's what I'm saying.
What I like about Spurs is that Redknapp's basically... They've started calling them the core 14 or something. They've got some little name. He's basically using the same 14 players for the league games. Yeah.
Well, back in the old days, teams used to do that. They used to have very small squads and they'd just rotate one or two players and that's it.
But even the likes of Stoke have got like a bigger squad than 14. Mostly because, obviously, it's an injury thing. So if they're not getting many injuries, then he can afford to keep playing them.
I think Spurs have surpassed what I thought they'd do. I thought Spurs were good for fourth or fifth this year. And watching them play, I think they're probably the best team to watch in the Premier League this year.
They're not bad, are they?
They play the best football.
Quite easy on the eye.
The best football. Manchester City, all the while David Silva's playing, looked quite good. Take David Silva out of the team, they look a little bit lacking in something. Nasri, great player for Arsenal. Mm. Last night they put him in the David Silva role. He did nothing.
No, exactly.
He did nothing. And Spurs, I just like the way Spurs play. I like the way Arsenal play, obviously, but Arsenal, it's very tippy-tappy, lightweight stuff. They need that little bit of steel. Spurs have got that. They've got that little bit of grunt that just means that they're able to sustain it. And I think... I don't think they will win a league, but I'd like to see them win it.
I'd like to see them win it. Out of those three. Don't even
come
tell
out,
Dan
come,
said, sort of said
come
that.
Off their field and hit the two big Manchester clubs and actually win it would be. I think it'd be good for the league. Mike won't agree with me, but I think it'd be great. Spurs.
I'd rather them win it than most teams, than
City.
My own. Yeah,
like City.
But no, I agree with you. It would be good. I mean, people say the Spanish league is two clubs, but at least they've had teams like Valencia and Deportivo.
Villarreal have been up there, and Atletico Madrid winning.
Yeah, that was a few years ago. Now they're going straight towards the SPL.
You look at the Premier League though, and it has, with the exception of one season, been three teams, and even Chelsea only won it three times.
It's been United.
Four times,
and
Chelsea,
one or two
three.
Other teams, and they've dropped away and come back. It was Villa for a while.
Yeah, but at least in the Premier League, there's not that massive
Arsenal
gap. Okay, there's two teams winning it, but there's not that huge gap between second and third.
You get more points dropped by the top teams in the Premier League.
Man United could quite easily go away to the team bottom, whoever's bottom of the Premier League, and lose.
They could this season.
Same as Man City could quite easily lose at Wigan on Saturday. You just don't know.
And the other
there's not that randomness in a lot of other leagues.
And the teams at the bottom of the league, or the teams sort of the less fancy, they're playing better football now. Look at Swansea, one of the best footballing teams in the league. Wigan under Martinez, okay, they're a bit lightweight and they're struggling, but he wants them to play football.
I think there's a distinction between
Martignol at Fulham likes his teams to play football, and you know, okay, Fulham aren't a struggling side, they're sort of in the mid table, but the teams that are coming up tend to be footballing sides now rather than blood and thunder. I mean, you know, for certain sides who play directly, it's worked for them, but it's taken them time to bed in. Stoke, to be fair, if those teams have
been playing direct football at different teams under a manager, they'd be in the Premier League as well for definite, as I believe that interview said.
there's a is a distinction between saying the Premier League, because everyone goes like, oh, the Premier League's the best league in the world, because someone might say, oh, because the team at the bottom can beat the team at the top. Okay, that might make it the most entertaining. It doesn't make it the best.
No.
The reason Barcelona and Real Madrid don't go to those teams at the bottom and lose is because they are better teams.
Yeah,
better. So there is that distinction to be made, but it does make it quite entertaining.
I think if you look at the spread of money is a big thing.
Yeah.
And that for the top teams in the Premier, so you're looking at, you know, especially looking at Man City, the spread of money that they get compared to, say, Wigan Athletic, that gap is getting bigger because of the rich investors. But I think that's going to come back again. And because the teams at the bottom are playing better football than they used to, you know, you're not seeing as much of that on the pitch.
I think
even Manchester City were complaining last night that they were missing players.
Oh, yeah.
All the money that they've got, they're going to get no sympathy.
Which is fair, Dalglish did that after the league game the other day. Yeah. He came out and said, oh, if they're going to spend all that money, all right, Dalglish.
Yeah.
You've not done too bad for yourself. You spent half of it on a
Luis Suarez
idiot,
coming up through the ranks.
Yeah, exactly. Local lad made good.
Clearly.
Right, moving on. We've not got any Sky Sports news, I imagine, have we?
No.
No news is crap news, but there's no news. No. Dan Silva was supposed to be doing the Melbourne Heart update, but he's not here either.
Yeah.
Have they had a game?
Yeah, they got beat 3-1 by the Central Coast Mariners.
Oh, they're top of the league, aren't they?
So, yeah.
Unstoppable.
I believe it was 1-1 at one point, and then the Mariners scored 2 second half goals. So,
we'll get a proper update.
We'll have a proper update on Melbourne Heart next week.
Which brings me.
The Prem Stars.
To the 90s Prem Stars. This week. You might have seen it. I hope you've seen it, Coxon. Eric Cantona.
Yes, Eric the King.
I always do it, so I'll do it. Started at Auxerre, signed for Marseille, went to Nîmes. Then he obviously joined Leeds United in 1992. Moved to Old Trafford the year later. Was he just at Leeds?
He joined Leeds in 1991. He went to United in 1992.
Okay. For only 1.2 million.
Yeah.
That's horrible, isn't it, for Leeds fans?
To think we nearly signed David Hurst instead.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Whilst at Man United, he scored 64 goals and won the Premier League titles in 93, 94, 96, and 97. And the FA Cup winning goal in 96. Was that
96, as well as
Liverpool.
Two penalties in the final against Chelsea in 94.
Yeah. So we know a lot about his career. Since he's left, he's obviously done quite a lot as well. And it was New York Cosmos.
Director of football.
He's still involved.
Okay. This week, the headline is Eric Cantona wants to be the next president of France.
Yes. I'd vote. It'd be like if Dion Dublin stood over here.
So he's revealed he wants to be the next president. He's running for the presidential election, which needs 500 signatures. And it doesn't really say in this article whether that's 500 signatures from people like within politics or just 500 signatures. Because if it was just 500 people, we've got 1,200 people that follow the podcast.
Yeah.
I reckon we could get half of them.
Get down
to
Salford, I reckon he'd get a few from one person.
But this was the letter that he sent to Newspaper Liberation. This engagement obliges me to speak more earnestly than usual, but also with a keen sense of my responsibility at a time when our country faces difficult choices, which will be decisive for its future. But he's got a little bit involved in politics before. I remember he urged everyone in France to take the money out of their bank accounts when the banking crisis was going on. And I know he's heavily involved in like the youth movements and stuff like that.
He used to do a lot for kick racism out of football over here, especially at Selhurst Park.
Yeah, exactly. Kick dickheads out of football. Yeah.
This Cantona, I don't want to put too much cold water on it. It is a publicity stunt, as we know, right?
Boy, what's he got coming out?
It's a publicity stunt.
He's got a new album.
No.
That's true.
The reason he's done it is to raise awareness of a housing charity in France.
Okay.
It hasn't worked, because I'd read the article and I've got no idea.
Yeah, you obviously saw that and thought, that's a good story, which it is. But you obviously didn't see the follow-up story that said, it's a publicity stunt. Now, one of the things I had to do this week was...
Is this Sky Sports News?
I suppose it could be. In light of this story breaking, and before we realised it was a publicity stunt, and we then thought, sod it, we'll do it anyway, other footballers who've gone into politics.
George Weah
ran for the presidency of Liberia and didn't win, and he's now currently running for vice presidency of Liberia. Jordan Lechkov, if you remember Jordan Lechkov.
I've got a story about him.
Podcast listeners as well, if you want a good trivia question to ask anyone, ask a Spurs or a Chelsea fan, Chelsea or Man City fan, who is the only player to have played for Manchester City and Chelsea in the Premier League and no other English team? George Weah. Took us a while, didn't
it? Yeah, it did.
And I came out of it.
Yeah.
He was on loan at Chelsea, then he signed for Man City.
Is he the only one?
Only one.
He's the only one to have done it. Say who played for Chelsea, Man City, and no other English team? Because most other players, I'm pretty sure he would be.
The question that we got was who is the only player?
Yeah, there you go.
And Sean Wright Phillips, for example, obviously now at QPR.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, and he probably played for other people as well when he was coming up. A lot of people said that Daniel Sturridge, but he's obviously played at Bolton.
Yeah.
Lechkov.
Jordan Lechkov, balding midfield player, scored a diving header to knock out Germany in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Got elected to government, and when he was in Parliament, his arguing technique was along the line, when he thought he was losing the argument, he basically stand and go, "Did you knock the Germans at the World Cup?" And they said no, and he said, "Well, shut up then."
Excellent.
That was his technique.
Where can I vote?
Jordan Lechkov, my mate's garden, we used to have an area of it called Lechkov's Bald Spot. That's my story about him. And then once, because there was a lot of turf grass, if you remember his hair, he had a little patch of hair, a little island.
Yeah. And then nothing.
And then I accidentally turfed it up, taking a penalty, and that was the end of
terrible.
It. That's my story about him. It's great.
Come and
see me do stand up.
We'd banter like that, some witty repartee. But you've got, who else got? Gianni Rivera, famous Italian midfielder. Zico was Brazil's Minister of Sport for a year. There have been some footballers that have gone into politics. Cantona isn't yet one of them.
Watch this space.
You never know. You can't put anything past Eric. He'll give anything a go, wouldn't he? So, is that pretty much it? Anyone got anything else to throw in before we finish? Because I think we're almost done, aren't we?
I really want to see the video of Mike doing stand-up.
I do.
And I like this song.
Thing is, I need to find it on my laptop because I didn't name it as anything specific to allow me to find it, but I will find it.
Think it's something. I've got a YouTube account.
I'll stick it up. We'll stick it up there.
After what? Three. We've all got.
Have you got one?
Yes.
Have actually.
Yeah.
I've not got one, Si, but I will have to watch it first to make sure it isn't crap.
And there's people doing lines of stuff in the background.
Yeah, let's get that bastard.
Yeah.
That was Harry Redknapp, sorry. The impression
he heard Sky Sports news cameras were there.
So. If there was a job doing stand-up, I'd do it, you know right?
I'd like one show to go by with Mike not doing his Harry Redknapp impression.
Never will.
Last week's one was the last one, because he wasn't here.
Yeah.
That's the Football Podcast. Email us, banter at footballpodcast.co.uk. What's your Twitter handle? Are you still Michael Cox?
Michael Cox. Last time I checked.
Right. Millardonna10, Jim Staples, Simon Head.
Don't do the rest of them.
They're not here. It doesn't matter.
Don't follow it. If anything, unfollow them.
But the main one is Football Podcast, at Football Podcast. We're on Facebook as well, although that's neglected. And the website, which isn't neglected, is footballpodcast.co.uk.
It's breathing.
That was show number 64 of the Football Podcast. We'll be back next week.
And now to sing us out, Simon's going to sing When I'm 64 by the Beatles. Take it away, Simon.
I would really like to hear that, to be honest.
Yeah. If I knew the words, I'd give it a go.
You know the words. Everyone knows the words. We're getting up.